And now it's time for 3 hours of Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network right here on AM 1480 KPHX. You can also listen to us online, breakradioshow.com. That's B-R-E-A-K, radioshow.com. Greg Isaac here. No Dave. Dave is in Vegas right now. He's hanging out with our hangover buddies, which we'll actually talk about today with, of course, Joseph Erdo. Joseph, how are you doing today?
I don't know why, but I'm doing, you know, ecstatic today. I'm ecstatic.
I am super excited to hear what you say about the three movies that we're going to talk about, your great film reviews.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them yet. This might help me in making a decision. No, I actually plan on seeing all three, but, you know, it's very exciting, of course, because of, you know, epic, you know, the whole family can see, and a great cast, the animated film. Fast and Furious 6, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. They keep going and going. And you know what? I've liked most of the sequels so far. And then we have The Hangover Part 3.
Right.
That's all in hour one, of course. And we'll also talk about, you know, some in-depth conversation regarding that we'll get to here in a moment. Hour two, of course, real hockey talk with myself and Sebastian Noren. Stanley Cup playoff talk. The Pittsburgh Penguins moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And news regarding the Phoenix Coyotes ownership situation, as well as General Manager Don Maloney re-signing long-term. So good news there for Coyote fans. And then 1-2 Breakthrough Sports. 1:15 special guest Phoenix Mercury forward Chardae Houston will join us. In studio, we'll have a full house for hour three. Of course, PLR, Ed Cole from Pros to Preps, and Derek Montilla. So a lot of stuff going on today. Dave, we don't miss you.
that's cruel, though, you know? I mean, no, not really, because if he's in Vegas, I mean, he's... would you rather be here or would you rather be in Vegas?
I love being here. It's great. But next time I would pre-record and I would be in Vegas.
I don't blame you. Yeah. You know, but I'm sure he's having a good time.
He's there for business. Now, the thing is even a good time to Dave in Vegas isn't, you know, the stuff that we probably like. You know, don't get me wrong. I love watching sporting events. He just probably hangs out on the sports book. For whatever reason, he likes Donnie and Marie. You know, I used to think they were married. I didn't know they were siblings until a couple of years ago. That's the type of shows he watches. See, if we were there, you know, there would be drinking involved.
There'd be no Donnie and Marie.
Things that we don't remember. Yeah, just a lot. Well, the best trips are the ones you don't remember usually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing plenty of that today.
Absolutely. Yeah, with The Hangover Part 3, of course. But a lot of stuff to get to. Now, before we get to Epic, let's talk about, you know, not only with the reviews of the films, but just kind of, you know, an in-depth look of, you know, kind of what the films mean in real life as well.
Yeah, that's what we love to do on Breakthrough Entertainment. We apply the themes to each of these movies to real life. You know, they're real life applications, their implications. We get to the existential purpose of them all. You know, it all sounds kind of deep, but really we're just diving deeper into the movie. So if you love movies, if you love entertainment, this is the show for you because, you know, we live and breathe the movies. We don't just watch them, right, Greg?
Absolutely. And, you know, Joseph, you know, great film columnist and, you know, you see every single movie, basically, or most of them.
Unfortunately.
And I remember a couple weeks ago on Saturday's show, there was some downers in your eyes. And then the last week, a lot better, including Star Trek, of course. You know what? It is a great time to go to the movies because not only it's Memorial Day weekend and it's hot outside, so go swimming, do your thing, and then go take in a movie. But we have the, you know, three new ones coming out. And obviously, you know, for our listeners out there, you can, you know, hear Joseph's take on the three films. But even from last week, you know, Star Trek, a lot of big time movies already out for the summer. And, you know, the summer movie season is definitely in full tilt right now.
Yes, it is. And I mean, there's a lot of independent films that also coming out. I mean, we talked about on Thursday on Blog Talk Radio, our outlet on there, that we saw a couple of Julianne Moore movies.
Julianne Moore's everywhere.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
I know. Well, unfortunately, what Maisie knew, we don't want to know.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't very good. But The English Teacher, that was great. And also Come Out and Play, that was great. And that wasn't Julianne Moore.
That it wasn't. Yeah, the first two were, but. Yeah, unbelievable. And, The English Teacher, I know you definitely recommended there. So, You know, and you can't go wrong. I think everyone, when they're in school, kind of thinks about that.
Yeah.
The teacher, you know, especially if she's Julianne Moore. So.
Yeah, and then looking ahead, we've got A Man of Steel coming out in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, gosh, I'm blanking right now, but After Earth with Will Smith and his son.
Absolutely.
And also,
they look the exact same.
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And that looks great. There is a lot coming out this summer.
Now You See Me.
Yeah, Now You See Me.
Oh, yeah, This
Is
The
End. A lot
of
great casts. Yeah. Absolutely.
So a lot of good, you know, a lot of good movies to, well, hopefully good movies, a lot of movies to talk about. And, you know, if you're interested in movies, you're going to want to keep it right here on 1480 AM. And also we'd enjoy if you called in and to discuss these movies with us, because, you know, Hangover has been out since, I believe, Wednesday. And also Fast and Furious has been out since Thursday.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what number can they call?
Absolutely. If you want to call in and join, 602-252-1480. Again, 602-252-1480. Chime in, you know, on Joseph's reviews. If you've already seen the movies, if you haven't, but you have questions for him, of course, he's not really going to give anything away. And I don't think you'd want to know anyways, but a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, you might be surprised. I might spoil some things.
Sometimes, very little. But I'm definitely excited to hear what you say about these, because The Hangover 3 especially, because I love that, you know, franchise. Fast and Furious I love as well, but The Hangover, though, one of my favorites. So, you know, absolutely excited to hear what you say.
And it's Memorial Day weekend. So, I mean, you know, there's plenty of things going on, but it's kind of hot out today, right? I think they said about 100 degrees here in the valley.
Absolutely. Well, actually, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
for us.
cool for us. But you know, so
good time to see a movie,
right? 2 hours, or in the case of Fast and Furious, I think it's a little over 2 hours. But you know, with including credits and all, you'll be in there for almost 3 hours. But it's the perfect time to see a movie.
Is that a little hint there?
Well, we'll get to it. Well, you know, before I also want to mention that we had this contest going on a couple weeks ago with for the Hangover. Some of our listeners had some passes that they got to see The Hangover Part 3 this past Monday night for free before anyone else, and all they had to do was submit some stories of their regrets, right?
Absolutely.
Their greatest regrets, and a lot of these have to do with, you know, they're alcohol related. We're talking about The Hangover, of course.
Absolutely.
So, you know, throughout
but
the show...
But it leads to a lot of other great regrets.
Right, exactly.
Well, sometimes they're great.
Right.
So I can't talk about mine. I don't want to get anyone arrested, so...
Well, I picked five of the winners. You know, there were 10 winners, but I picked five of the best. And we're going to go through them throughout the show. We'll start with number five, and we'll go, you know, at the end of the show, we'll end up at number one. So, you know, here at the right now, we'll talk about one of them. And then before we go to our next break, we'll also mention one of them.
Absolutely.
You know, and sandwiched in between those two are epic. But first, let's start with David Harris. He submitted, and by the way, all these names have been changed. So some of them
fake
might sound
names right now.
Yes. Because some of these people, and you'll especially know as we get closer to the number one mark.
Sure.
These people don't want their names
absolutely
being advertised.
They
want to
keep their jobs.
Right. But of course, with Facebook, some people have made that mistake already. So people already know they've done these things. But anyway, David Harris wrote, "At a dinner party hosted by myself and my girlfriend, I was so inebriated that I stood ranting and raving about how my girlfriend kisses her teenage son's butt and how he can do no wrong in her eyes in spite of his disrespectful attitude. I did all of this while the two of them were standing right there in front of me listening."
Interesting.
Yeah, so talk about a regret, right?
Always fun.
Yeah, so I can imagine that, I don't know. That wasn't a good ride home or whatever.
No. That probably was no fun on that way back. And David Harris with that.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Names changed. But all right. So let's start off with Epic. I know that you were interested in seeing this with Mason, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. My 2-year-old son. And of course, the voice of Amanda Seyfried also in there. Always
yes.
great.
Yeah. It's an animated film. Amanda Seyfried voices a teenager who finds herself transported to a deep forest setting where a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil is taking place. She bands together with a ragtag group of characters in order to save the world and ours. Their world and ours, by the way. Sorry. And so kind of, I remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago, and kind of reminded me of Fern Gully, at least the trailers,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Did you ever see Fern Gully?
I did. Yeah, I remember, early 90s. I feel old. But yeah, I do remember Fern Gully very well.
I was one of my, I wouldn't say maybe my favorite animated film, but it's one that really meant a lot to me as a kid.
Absolutely. You know, I think Robin Williams lent his voice for that, too.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There was, I mean, animated films aren't the same as they used to be, right?
They're different, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe you still enjoy them because you have someone to enjoy them with.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, you know, some are good. I like some of the recent ones, like Despicable Me, who I thought was pretty good, and Wreck-It Ralph I liked a lot. So, you know, ones like that. But, they are made differently. I just think over time there's just some evolution involved with that. But, epic.
I tend to be a little bit more disappointed in the animated films.
Really?
I mean, I don't know why, but when I walked out of this film, I thought, you know what? That's not that bad. That's not that bad. After I sat on it for a while, I realized that I'm just being too nice on these animated films. This is not very good. I mean,
really?
It's not the worst. It's not as bad as some of these movies that we've seen, you know, recently. I mean, maybe... that one, The Lorax, I did not care for that at all.
I didn't see that, yeah.
There was, like, no story there. At least there's a story here, because this was based on a book that was called The Leaf Men and the Brave Good Bugs.
Interesting.
It's kind of a strange title for a movie if they had made it that. Might have been a little difficult to market that. But epic, I think, is the wrong word to describe this, because it certainly isn't. I mean, if we're being completely honest... to call it epic, it's a little bit of a stretch. It's certainly beautiful to look at. I mean, there's plenty of flowers, plants, and you know, it's like a rainforest going on and everything. And and it teaches you a really important lesson. Which we'll get to here in a moment. But I love the subtext in this film, the layers and the lesson. It's a great lesson. And but unfortunately. There's none of this warrants the bold name that they have going on. And this is because the motion picture caters primarily to kids, trades in the momentous tone of the first teaser trailer. If you remember seeing the teaser trailer for this,
it had
this nice little song behind it, very little dialogue. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's disposable excitement and a juvenile sense of humor. I'm giving it thumbs down.
Really? So I was wrong on my prediction out there, and we'll see what Dave thinks about this, calling in from Las Vegas right now. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, you're right. I did see Donnie and Marie last night. It was fabulous.
Wow.
You know me so
interesting.
Well. And but hey, Joseph, hey, Greg, you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Have you
good
seen any movies while you're out there, or just Donnie and Marie?
Donnie and Marie so far. I did hang around the sports book. Saw the incredible Kings victory. When I say incredible, I mean incredible.
Absolutely.
Like the Kings last year. And tomorrow, they'll wrap it up. I'll be able to see most of that game because some other things going on. But
any other shows you're going to out there? Are you doing an encore of Donnie and Marie, or what else is on the agenda?
Yeah, I'm working on getting Donnie and Marie on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, just let me know so I know to take the day off.
But I'm a little bit country, and I am a little bit rock and roll. No, it's a really good show, no doubt. I think it's called Absinthe or something.
Oh, okay. I like to drink that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you knew it was a drink. Okay. So that's at Caesar's Palace. I'm going to do a review on that. So I'll
very good.
On that next Thursday and Saturday. And then the Million Dollar Quartet tomorrow night at Harrah's. And I'm going to do a review of that. And that is a little bit about Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and who's the other guy? I forgot the other guy there.
That sounds that one actually sounds pretty interesting.
Have you seen
Stu? It's a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Have you seen Stu or Phil over there? Or Alan? No.
Who's Alan?
Or baby Carlos?
Chow? Have you seen Chow?
Mr. Chow?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Maybe you did, but you just forgot. Yeah, maybe Alan put something in your drink.
He was hungover.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, it's going to be...
You sound like it, actually, Dave.
It's going to be non-hangover part four.
Oh, okay. Dave Isaac version.
He's
drinking his Riesling.
That'll be real wild. You know, wild night with Donnie and Marie, you know.
Absolutely.
Sounds like that's Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I was the youngest one in the audience, isn't it?
I bet you were.
Yeah, I don't think he's lying there.
Yeah.
Even younger than Donnie and Marie.
They are good. I give it a thumbs up. Total A. They are very talented.
Well,
but anyway, it is fun doing some business out here and having fun as well, watching all the sports great stuff going on. Greg, I think well, your Ottawa team didn't quite make it, but they are up against the mighty Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, I was going, picking the upset there, obviously, way off. And but tune in, Dave, for real hockey talk if you get a chance. Although, I won't be mad if you don't, because obviously you're in Vegas, so you should try to do some good stuff other than Donnie and Marie.
Now, if Dave wins, one, are you going to bring us back any of the money? And two, do we get a fair share of that because mm-hmm. he.
Yeah, before actually he left, I did have Alan and baby Carlos came by, and while Dave was out of it, we actually got him to sign something saying any winnings are split between us all equally.
And the signature looks the same as it would have otherwise if he wasn't inebriated.
Well, his signature normally just looks pretty bad. It looks like a doctor's signature, because he is a CPA, so he just scribbles on there real quick, or like an athlete.
I gave you a prescription. No.
You did. Alan actually got it taken care of, and that's why you were out of it.
I will be bringing back money, and as far as the share...
Very good.
The share will be anytime you multiply something times zero, that is my final answer. Okay.
That's not what we want to hear.
I will share with you guys.
Very good. We're looking forward to it.
Yes, well, and so far I haven't gambled, so there's no share in the pot at this point.
Well, Dave, have a good rest of your time out there, and we'll see you back here next week.
All right, excellent. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
So
Donnie and Marie, oh, man.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm. You'll have to let me know if they're coming in, because.
Yeah, I told him, actually, right here, but I kind of... had an inkling, you would say, that this might happen. So I told him that he has to give us notice so we can find him another, co-host or a couple different co-hosts for that show.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, anyway, back to Epic. So again, thumbs down. Didn't much care for it. But the theme here, many leaves, one tree. Essentially, we're all connected. So teamwork is essential, and we need to care about all worlds, even the ones that we don't belong to.
Yeah.
So, I think it's really important that we do, kind of like look out for each other, look out for, people in other countries, look out for animals, all that stuff. Because it is, I really like that universal connectivity. I don't remember if you recall, but my favorite film last year was Jeff
Who Lives at Home.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very good. So, one of my favorite TV shows is How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
So I love all these,
and Jason Segel.
Yes, and
it works out like that.
Yeah, and so exactly. So it's all it's all connected, right?
Absolutely.
That's proof.
See, Jason Segel has a big time mind because I don't know if he wrote Jeff Who Lives at Home.
No, he didn't. It was oh my gosh.
But I'm sure he's involved in the some of the decision making process that's involved, and then with the TV show, of course.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you kind of like follow the signs, kind of like in Jeff Who Lives at Home, or do you not believe things are as connected as I do?
I guess I do think everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a little more laid back in the sense where, I guess I do kind of let everything kind of connect a bit. But, I do believe in movies, though, they have some of those hidden meanings or messages that come out. And it seems like with Epic, maybe they were trying that. But as you said, maybe just... didn't hit the home run with this one.
Right. I know. I would prefer to go back and watch Fern Gully or go back and watch Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite shows growing up. But before we hit our break, let's give you one more hangover story. This is number 4 from Gomer Pyle. Again, we're changing the names. So this
Absolutely.
Is not the real Gomer Pyle,
oh.
just to clear his name. While I was in the Army, we used to party all the time and deep into the night. Most of the time, we would just be getting to the Panama base in time for morning physical training. I thought that I got lucky one morning by being excused to deliver a tow bar to a nearby motor pool. I took off into the rising heat of the jungle and got caught at the Gatun Locks. I fell asleep by a horn blast letting me know that the ship had gone through. Then, a few hundred yards from the gate, I fell asleep again and wrecked the truck into a guardrail. So, and I remember, I don't have it here, but he was punished for that. So I'm sure that he regretted that. Again, they even get better than that. So
I'm looking forward to some of those. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll take a look at Fast and Furious 6. And then later on, The Hangover Part 3. This is Breakthrough Entertainment right here on AM 1480 KPHX.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beer and Bomb and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment right here on AM 1480 KPHX. And if you're about to get in your house or if you happen to work today, you can also listen to us online. If you get by computer, breakradioshow.com.
And the phone apps.
Absolutely. And the phone apps for AM 1480 as well. Look for that on iPhone and Android. So a lot of different places to listen. And again, online, break, B-R-E-A-K, radioshow.com. Joseph, a thumbs down for Epic, but
yes,
I know when it comes to animated films, you know, not your favorite anymore. Yeah,
right. They used to be a personal favorite. And again, I love Anastasia and all these other, you know.
And that happens, I think, a lot of people, like, because we grew up, obviously, in, you know, the same time, basically.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, Ferngully and movies like Aladdin, Lion King, some
of
those.
And they have evolved, as you said. They have
absolutely
really evolved. I mean, there's no music in them in terms of, like, like musicals.
Right.
Sing along. There actually is in Epic, by the way. I will mention that. Steven Tyler has a brief musical number.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll probably still check it out with the little guy.
If you have kids, I think you will enjoy
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But if you're an adult, this is not one of the animated films that's going to appeal to you.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward now to hear what happens in terms of Fast and Furious 6. And
yes.
I know you may also have some more hangover stories that we'll get to as well.
Yes, let's read another hangover story. Again, these were submitted by our listeners. They got to see Hangover Part 3 before anyone else this past Monday because they submitted these. So, you know, again, stay tuned to BreakRadioShow.com, also our Facebook page, which you can access from there because we have contests going on all the time. You could see these movies before anyone else. So this one comes from Danny Drupal. Again, these names have been changed. Once in college, while intoxicated at 3 a.m., my friend talked me into swallowing shots of shampoo. It was the most painful thing in my life. I had a sharp knot in my stomach for 5 days and could not ingest anything, throw up, or pass it through my system. Aloe vera shampoo may say that it is made with all natural ingredients, but I learned that that does not necessarily mean that it is edible.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever taken shots of shampoo, Greg?
Not yet. I can't say that I have. No. I mean, perhaps, maybe, and I just don't remember.
Are you planning to in the future?
That's what it sounded like.
I think now I really am not. I was thinking maybe that can clean my system out, you know, a little shampoo. No, that was one of the Dave type
jokes.
Well,
they said they couldn't get anything out either way.
That's why, now that you say that. So if anyone's planning on doing that, anyone thinks, oh, you know what, maybe, hey, shampoo, conditioner, hey. Don't do that.
No.
Your stomach will be backed up. You'll get bloated. You'll be in a lot of pain, and you won't be able to really eat anything.
Right. And I don't know why you would want to do that in the first place. There's plenty of other things to eat that probably have a far less calorie count as well.
That too. Absolutely. Oh, man. Poor guy.
Exactly. So, all right. So Fast and Furious 6 we'll talk about. But first, I want to mention that since these movies have been out, you know, a couple days now with Fast and Furious and The Hangover, and there's other movies to compare them to since they're sequels, you know, some box office results have already been trickling in. Now, Fast and Furious 6 is doing surprisingly good. So far, as of my last, what I've seen online, that Fast and Furious 6 easily took the top spot with $36 million on Friday, including Thursday late night shows. It's looking to garner about $110 million for the holiday weekend. It's the biggest opening yet for the franchise.
Unbelievable.
So that one's
it's
doing
a good time
good.
To come out, though, holiday weekend. Do you remember if any of the others came out on,
I don't recall.
The release dates
I think that the last couple were late April. Mm-hmm. They scheduled those like right before the big summer push.
And I remember when the first one came out. You know, I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I was probably 16 at the time. And I remember everyone, when they got to the parking lot, started revving their engines.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then everyone crashed into each other.
Yeah, these
no,
are
I'm
the
kidding
kind
about
of movies.
The last part, but
well, I don't know if you feel like that, but when you see a movie, and I mean, if it's about cars, and you get in your car, you feel like, I'm gonna.
And at the time when I was 16, I had a little like Kia Rio, so I got in and boom, and the engine exploded. It didn't, but you know, it wasn't as fun as some of my friends out there that you know had all those like neon lights on their cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, not even your radio, your stereo doesn't have all those neon lights on it.
I wish. No.
You wish. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Fast and Furious 6, let's give you a synopsis about this. Dwayne Johnson reprises his role as a DSS federal agent who enlists the aid of Brian, played by Paul Walker, and Dom, of course, played by Vin Diesel, to, in exchange for clear records, help bring a rival gang to justice. This rival gang is led by a guy, by actor Luke Evans.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, is the sixth installment in the franchise. And before I tell you what I thought of this one, what do you think, what was your favorite installment of the franchise to date?
The original one I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Honestly, I've liked all of them. Now, Tokyo Drift, it's been a while since I've seen that one. Mm-hmm. That one maybe because a lot of different characters in it. The first time I saw it, maybe I didn't quite enjoy as much, mm-hmm. but I still liked it. I think they've all been pretty good films. But the first one, and I would say the second would probably be the most recent one, Fast Five.
Okay, yeah, you know, I kind of agree. Well, they all have something different. They all bring something new to the table.
The second one brought us Eva Mendes.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I really like Tokyo Drift because it was different than all the rest.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just keep upping the ante, which I'm going to talk about here in a second as well. But I want to also mention, if you want to talk about the Fast and Furious, if you want to, you know, share what your favorite memory from this franchise has been, or if you've seen Fast and Furious 6, want to get in the conversation, what number can they call to join us?
Give us a call. 602-252-1480. Again, 602-252-1480. Chime in on Fast and Furious 6, or if you want to talk Hangover 3 later on. But someone that is chiming in on Fast and Furious 6 is one of my favorite actresses, a future ex-wife of mine, hopefully, Anna Kendrick, who just tweeted out Fast 6 is the most fun that she's ever had at the movies.
Wow.
And it's very possible that it's not just because she was drunk when she saw it. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
If Anna Kendrick likes it, I think that you'll like it. And let's find out.
Well, let's find out then. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how Fast and Furious 7 will be, because that's been fast-tracked.
Absolutely.
You know, for next, it's released next summer. I believe it's either in July. I think that's when they're trying to get it released next summer, which is, you know, extremely fast. I mean, I think they're going to production right now. It's going to be interesting how they try to up the ante, because in this movie, I mean, there's a tank that runs amok on the wrong side of the freeway, and then there's also they show how a handful of cars can take down the largest aircraft in the world. I mean, if you've seen the trailers, you see that one of the characters says, you know, that's not a plane, that's a planet. I mean, so these are all kind of silly
lines.
But again, this is Fast and Furious. So, so the end of this movie, the last two action sequences are outstanding. I mean, I cannot, again, see how they're going to up the ante, because you cannot get any bigger than these last two action sequences. I mean, but of course, I know that they're going to do it, and that's what's really exciting about Fast and Furious 7. But Fast and Furious 6, I really did like it. I loved it. You know, it's a lot of fun. You know, so the last lap is just excellent, very action-packed. You know, especially it's insane, of course. Again, I said some of the, you know, silly things that they've said. You know, it's insanely intense, though. And it's going to satisfy fans who could care less about trivial things like gravity, maximum velocity, impact tolerance. You know, who cares about gravity, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, that's not important.
I'd say this. I mean, that's what makes movies fun.
Yeah.
But another great thing about this is, just like Fast Five, it brings together basically all the characters from, you know, the first you know, four movies then before that.
Yeah.
And I love that about it.
Yeah, and when you bring all these characters together, you know, there's a lot of melodrama and stuff like that that kind of takes place. Unfortunately, that's where this film, it's not my favorite of the franchise.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm giving it a thumbs up. But in between, I mean, because it starts with an action sequence near the beginning that's, you know, kind of exciting, with Luke Evans, you know, riding around the streets in this, like, little sand rail type thing.
Yeah.
You know, very intense. And then it has these last two sequences near the end. But in the middle, they could have used one or two smaller action sequences to kind of, like, split it all up. Because they really, it's more about the characters now than it has been. And I think that's where, you know, I've kind of, like, been falling away from it a little bit, because it's becoming less Fast and Furious than it is, you know,
more dramatic in a way.
Dom and Brian's family, you know, kind of these people. But that's fun. I mean, because we've gotten to know these characters, so you've got to have character development. I just wish that they would remember that this is Fast and Furious. I mean, and we want to see, you know, we're going to see these things for the cars. Right?
Some of us. I like it for the cars, but I like some of the drama behind the characters that comes about. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Jordana Brewster or Michelle Rodriguez return, which, of course, everyone knows. You know, we won't spoil what exactly happened, but, of course, she's listed as one of the main cast in the trailers.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to bring up. That's the theme that I took away from this film. You know, if because, again, Michelle Rodriguez's character, Letty, returns, you know, in the last... Was it the last installment where she supposedly died, or two installments ago?
Yeah, one of the two.
You know, one of
I
the
think
two,
the
she,
fourth one. I
might have
believe.
Been, yeah, might have been the fourth. But so she, you know, got shot, or, you know, supposedly died. But she reappears in this, and she can't remember, you know, who she is. She's kind of like on the bad guy's side. She's Luke Evans's, you know, right hand woman. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of on the bad, the wrong side of the tracks now. So here's a question for you. If a close friend or family member were to die or disappear and later inexplicably reappear, albeit with a new adversarial identity, would you be willing to fight for your relationship with them?
It depends who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
No, if it's someone I respected a lot, trusted, if it was the same type of situation what Dom was going through mm-hmm. in the film and, you know, Letty, you know, his girlfriend, yeah, you know, I would definitely fight to, you know, well, want to make them remember that type of relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it does depend on the person, but under those exact circumstances, yeah, I would definitely fight.
Yeah, I think I would agree for myself.
I would hire Vin Diesel to help me, though.
Yeah, it probably makes it a lot easier. Or you know, Dwayne Johnson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe not Paul Walker.
Yeah, probably not, although he's fast, so who knows?
Fast.
You know,
he's
we'll have him drive the cars and the other two can just take care of business.
Right, but see, what I kept thinking of while watching this is, you know, especially with regards to this theme, is Brenda Heist.
Uh-huh.
She's the woman who disappeared. She disappeared, and then she reappeared. Her family didn't know where she went. She was, I don't know if you've seen this story on the news, that she's...
I didn't. I probably should know it.
She was a wife, and she, you know, they showed uh-huh. pictures of her, and she, yeah. you know, quite attractive looking. And then all of a sudden, she reappears. I forget how many years later, like 11 years later. Her family hasn't seen her since. She just kind of like up and left, mm-hmm. and now she's homeless. She's on drugs and all this
right.
stuff. And her family, when they asked them, you know, well, don't you want to? What would you want to say to her? And her husband, her ex-husband, or whatever he would be called now, is I have nothing to say to her. I mean, I think that I might want to, I would want my answers. I would want some answers, I think.
I probably would too. Again, I think it just depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, if things are falling, you know, if the terms are bad and
That's
maybe
true.
You're
we
not getting along or
on,
things,
right.
you know, you might just say, well, who cares? Good, they're gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want them to get hurt or
right.
hope they're not, you know, dead. But in the sense if they, you know, disappear and then reappear and in that
yeah.
sense where if you weren't getting along before that, I can maybe understand his point. Yeah, I'd probably still want to ask, wait, what happened? You know?
Yeah. I think just in me, my own sense of curiosity.
You want to know what
yeah,
was going
know.
On.
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe,
where
so
were you all those years?
Right,
and,
so maybe
you know.
It's not so much about wanting to, you know, get that person back on my side or
right.
you know, reconnect with that person.
Just more of what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, and kind of bring them in and then say, okay, but goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's like, okay, I'm done with you. You know, so closure, right? Closure.
Absolutely. Just get the closure and then done.
Yeah, so again, Fast and Furious 6, giving it a thumbs up. Definitely go see it this Memorial Day weekend. You'll have a lot of fun. You know, but again, it's like, I think it's 2 hours and 10 minutes plus previews and all that stuff. You're going to want to stick around through the end credits.
Yes.
Because there is something that hints at what's going to happen in Fast and Furious 7, and it ties into Tokyo Drift. So if you didn't know where that movie, you know, tied into all this.
And it involves Samuel L. Jackson.
No, actually, no. But don't say who if you
no,
saw
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Just because yeah. of, what is it, the Avengers. And
oh, yeah. All right,
some of those
right.
movies, he always pops up at the end. And
yeah, no, not S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not in this one, but
yeah.
there is an actor
yeah,
who
makes
a cameo.
I have no idea who it is. I'm not going to find out from Joseph off the air
no,
because
yeah.
I plan on seeing this movie just as I plan on seeing Epic and Hangover Part 3.
Yeah, so we'll take a break here in a second, but let's do another Hangover Part 3, you know, regret. Again, these were submitted by our listeners. Gary Orr, when I was in the Marine Corps back in the late 80s, I was stationed in Camp Pendleton in California. One night, my friends and I went to Tijuana and became incredibly intoxicated. I had the pleasure of meeting a young lady and dancing with her all night. Fast forward to the next morning when I woke up and found out that she was a he.
Oh, just
so again, yeah, the
sort
names
of like
were changed.
In Hangover 2,
yeah,
what happens.
Or
wow.
I was going to say, again, these names were changed. So this is Gary Orr.
Gary
be
or
Dave...
Not.
Yeah. Dave Isaac? No, I'm kidding.
It's possible. I've heard some weird stories from the 60s that he used
yeah.
to have, or the 30s, however old he is. But once again, Breakthrough Entertainment, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk The Hangover Part 3 right here on AM 1480 KPHX.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beer and Bomb and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment right here on AM 1480 KPHX. If you're in the car on your way back to a computer, you can listen to us online, breakradioshow.com. That's B-R-E-A-K radioshow.com. Or also on your phone, if you have an iPhone or Android, find the AM 1480 KPHX app, and you can listen to us that way as well. Lots of different ways to listen.
Yeah, so you don't want to miss it, right? Because we're going to be talking about The Hangover Part 3 right now. Right.
I am looking forward to this last story and then to hear what you say. And then maybe if we have time before Real Hockey Talk, maybe I'll try to say maybe some regrets I have under the influence. I just don't want to get anyone arrested. So
right,
we'll
exactly. Well, again, these names have been changed. Here is the best one. This is the one that I thought that was the most outrageous. Lily Ciccheroni says, about 4 years ago, I was wasted and my friend talked me into going to a social club. They were not serving any alcohol, so we had to keep going out to our car for more booze. Long story short, I ended up in a hot tub, nude, with about 10 other people who were not nearly as drunk as me. And when I did not...
I remember her.
And I did not even know this until the next day when I saw that someone had tagged me in a bunch of photos on Facebook for all of my friends and family to see. I vowed then and there to never take another drink and have been sober ever since.
She's lying, because the next week she was in the hot tub again.
Yeah, with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of us in there.
See, now you're in trouble. All right, so before we get you in any more trouble, The Hangover Part 3. Of course, Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, and Zach Galifianakis reprise their roles as friends whose encounter with a gang leads them to Tijuana and back to Las Vegas. Ken Jeong also reprises his role while John Goodman joins the cast. So everyone's back, right? And including Heather Graham, the baby from the original.
Oh, baby Carlos.
Carlos, yes.
Absolutely.
They have like a little touching moment between him and Zach Galifianakis' character, Alan. And, you know, this is not doing too good at the box office right now. The last one, I think it opened with about $80 million, which is pretty good for an R-rated comedy. This one, they're projecting maybe about 40 if it's lucky. Didn't do too well on Friday. So you like the first Hangover the best, right?
I did, yeah. And I'm one of the few people that also like the second one. Okay. I know some thought, oh, they just went way over the top, but I like that.
I liked them both, I thought
it was pretty good as well, yeah.
Yeah, they were both very funny, but I agree with some people that the second one, kind of like, you know, the same jokes, kind of. But it was still outrageous. I love the outrageousness of, you know, any R-rated comedy. I think if you're going to go for an R, you've got to go, you know, all the way.
You were one of the few, and I liked it as well, but in terms of film reviewers or film columnists that enjoyed Movie 43.
Yes,
and
I
liked it as well. I thought it was hilarious.
I think it's on DVD now. You know,
I got to check that out. I better get down to Redbox.
There might be an extra one, extra short.
Oh, with the one kid. He's not a kid anymore from Fright Night.
Right, about necrophilia.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. So that would, really interesting, huh? We're having a good time today. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Anyway, so yeah. We'll talk some more about our regrets here in a few moments, but you want to know one of my regrets?
Say it.
Seeing this movie.
No!
I did not like this at all. The Hangover Part 3 is horrible.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. Have you? Yeah, I know you're very sad because you. Well,
I'm sure
still
going
still
to see
it,
but yeah.
And I'll be curious to see what you think. But, you know, have you ever wondered what The Hangover would have been like if instead of dealing with the aftermath of daffy decisions made under the influence of retracing their steps to shed some light on a wild night, its three characters merely had to track down and bring down Ken Jeong's Chow? At the strong request of a gang? Sounds really interesting, right?
It does. Anything that...
There's no regrets in here. They don't do anything...
So it's not...
It doesn't follow the formula.
Oh, okay.
I really missed the formula. I really wanted to see... Here's the thing. The end of the movie, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you're going to want to stay through the credits of this as well, because there is a scene that is... It's the biggest laugh of the entire franchise.
Oh, okay.
Because they basically... It shows you what Hangover 4 would have been like, or what this could have been like if they'd actually followed the formula. And it's a very big laugh. You will probably not laugh harder all year than this one scene. And in that respect, maybe it's worth it. But the rest of the movie is so tame. I mean, there's you've seen the trailer with the giraffe head. You're right. You've seen the giraffe going under the freeway. You know that's funny. I laughed out loud at that. But the rest of the movie. Very, very mild chuckles.
Really? So not as raunchy either as the first two?
Not really. Not except for, you know, these two scenes that I just said. I mean, it's just very tame and they don't do anything as wild as they have been doing. It just doesn't follow the formula. And in that respect, I know some people did have a hard time with the second one because it was too closely following the formula. But this one just, I mean, this is not even The Hangover, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of neat how they, you know, repackage it and you see how, you know, everything kind of like works out and everything. But, you know, so it's not a terrible, terrible movie, but I was very, very disappointed. And, you know, so, you know, Todd Phillips is the writer-director, right? In this one, he replaces laughs with yawns. I'm giving it a thumbs down, unfortunately.
I'm going to have to give Todd Phillips a call and maybe, well, you know, I'll have to see it and see what I think. But if I agree with you on it, we will let Todd know that he has to do a remake of Part 3.
Yeah.
Follow the formula.
Follow the formula and follow that last last scene. It is hilarious.
And then that's what I did like about the second one that did follow the formula. And like you said, some didn't. I like following the formula. Now, sometimes if you do the same exact jokes over and over again, then, yeah, you can go a little far. But they didn't. You know, they did it in different ways, and I thought it was even raunchier in the second one.
Yeah.
But, I'll still see it, and I'm looking forward to it. But I am going to break down into tears when we go to break before real hockey talk, because I was hoping and expecting that you would love this.
I feel bad.
You probably went in excited.
Oh, I was. And then, you know, if they didn't have this last scene at the end, which, you know, that I've said again is hilarious, I would have really.
You would have taken Dave's popcorn and thrown it.
Probably.
And then Dave would have ran, and then there would have been an earthquake, and it would have just been sad for everyone.
Exactly. The theme here is there any situation that you would where you would be willing to return to the setting or circumstances of your greatest regrets? I mean, think about. I mean, you don't have to share it with me, but if it's too serious, but you know, what is your greatest regret, and would you ever be willing to go back to that, even if you to like save a friend or something?
Yeah.
Because they go back to Vegas.
I have interesting regrets. You know, some are the funny ones, like, you know, high school time and early 20s.
Yeah.
That
silly regrets,
right. And we'll talk about on different shows when we have more time. To be serious, though, about it, yeah, there's one or two that I probably go back and kind of say, oh, okay, maybe say something different.
Not even that, but would you be willing to go back there and risk making that regret again?
Yes.
Just, you know, for...
Yes, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You would be, okay.
I would.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because they're, like, scared to death when they get to Vegas. They're like, oh, this, my stomach hurts.
If I was in their situation and there's, you know, crime involved, you know, people with guns, everyone going after Mr. Chow, even though it would be awesome to hang out with Chow for a little bit, yes, I would be, you know, pretty scared. These regrets have nothing like that. More of maybe just things that are silly, not really regrets. But I would say, I'd probably be willing to go back and take a look.
It's interesting that both this and Fast and Furious 6 are about friendship. I mean, because this is about, you know, they're friends with Alan and everything.
Yeah.
And he's kind of wild. And they're friends with Doug, and they're trying to save Doug. It's very, really interesting that both of these movies that came out Memorial Day weekend are about friends and looking out for one another. And it's even more interesting that Epic is also about friends, you know, looking out for one another. So, I mean, that's what Memorial Day weekend, any of these movies that you see, I would recommend seeing Fast and Furious 6. probably not the other two, but... they're not terrible, terrible choices. They're much worse movies, like Lincoln.
Yeah.
let's get more people mad at us.
I still haven't seen Lincoln, and I don't plan on seeing it because, even if you would have liked that, and obviously it got great reviews everywhere else, it's just not the type of movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, next weekend we'll talk more about, some more big movies coming out. Now You See Me, Before Midnight, and also After Earth.
Absolutely. And a couple minutes here, and then we'll be at the top of the hour. Then, of course, Real Hockey Talk Hour 2 and Breakthrough Sports Hour 3. Now, this isn't necessarily a regret, but a funny Vegas story that I can briefly describe. I can't say everything, but it involved a lot of Bacardi and at a fun club and with the women there. And this was probably when I was 21 or 22, so about 6 years ago or so. And I was so out of it because the whole bottle I basically had that we ended up at a massage parlor.
Ooh.
And I didn't know what was going on because I was out of it and my buddies were there just doing whatever. And then all of a sudden this big guy that looks like the rapper Fat Joe walks in.
Yeah.
And then we looked around, and I was way out of it. And then we're like, okay, let's get out of here. We ran out. But there's more to the story, of course, that we'll talk about off there. But some fun Vegas stories in the past. Yeah,
I wouldn't be willing to go back to some of my regrets, because that's why they're regrets. I mean, I would be too scared to I think onward and upward.
Yeah.
Move on from all that stuff. I don't want to go back and redo anything.
Absolutely. My one sort of regret, I don't really have any I look back on or that I can remember, but the one I was kind of mentioning is with hockey. You know, I played hockey for many years, and I then coached, of course. I'm still a big hockey guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, you know, when I 16, 17, before you get to the point, you know, if you want to play junior hockey or try to, you know, play college hockey or whatnot and keep advancing, I really, I stayed in shape in a way, but, you know, I could have done a lot more to really stay dedicated. And, you know, obviously when you're 16 and 17, a lot of things going on, girls and just friends, just, you know. So I'd still concentrate on hockey in my playing, but I, when I look back, I'm like, okay, if I would have done a little more, ate a little better, and basically, you know, maybe worked a little harder off the ice.
Yeah.
You know, maybe then stayed, because there was a time when I was about 17, I was like, I don't even want to play anymore. I still love the sport, want to get into coaching. But, you know, it's kind of what happened. Yeah. So,
well, I've never been, you know, the alcohol or drugs guy, but, you know, food has always been my weakness.
Yeah, and that was the killer there. Yeah.
I went to an all-you-can-eat taco place, and I really regret eating all I could possibly eat.
Yeah, no, and I've done that with a lot of different places. Chinese buffets, I'll be there forever when there's seafood. And
you say, I never do that again. And, but then, you know what's interesting?
Then you go back
a week later.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this has been Breakthrough Entertainment, of course. Epic, Fast and Furious 6, The Hangover Part 3, all in theaters right now. Thank you once again, Joe Sefardo, our film columnist. And stay tuned, of course, for Real Hockey Talk from 12 to 1, coming up here at the top of the hour with myself and Sebastian Noren. Then 1 to 2, PLR, Derek Montilla, and Ed Cole from Pros to Preps join me in studio. And, of course, we'll also have a special guest caller from the Phoenix Mercury calling in as well. And so a lot to look forward to. And that's Chardet Houston at 1:15. Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network here on AM 1480 KPHX. Stay tuned for Real Hockey Talk.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.